Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is from Basra Daf Yud Dalet. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel and Beis. We are at Tanur Rabbanan, two lines from the end of the page on Daf Yud Gimel and Beis. Today's is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, Lila Nishmas's mother, called about Simcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for these sponsorships. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to continue our discussion about Kisvei HaKodesh, and the Gemara is then going to have a discussion about the ratio of the length of a Sefer Torah to the circumference of a Sefer Torah, what the ideal ratio is, and how easy it is to achieve that ratio when writing a Sefer Torah. Then the Gemara is going to have a lengthy discussion about how they fit whatever needed to fit in the Aron into the Aron, the Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos, a Sefer Torah, how big was the Aron. So we're going to have two opinions about how big the Aron is. You might say, what do you mean two opinions? These are psukim in the Torah. It tells you exactly how many amos. Yeah, but how much is an ama? So we're going to have two opinions about that and exactly how everything fit into the Aron. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the order of the Nevi'im, and that's going to and that's going to lead us into a discussion that will go into tomorrow's daf, not only about the order of the Nevi'im, but the authorship of the Svarim in Tanakh. Who wrote which book? So let's begin. Tanur Rabbanan, two lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Yud Gimel Beis. So Tanur Rabbanan rotzel dabik b'torah neviim k'suvim ke'echad midabek va'osa baroshu k'dei logul amud u'besofu k'dei logul hekif. That if a person wants to attach a Torah neviim k'suvim all in a single volume, in a single scroll, they can attach it all together, and you should make at the beginning of the scroll enough klaf to wrap around the amud, the eight, what we call the eight chayim, that attaches to the klaf, so that it should be completely surrounded by klaf before any writing starts going around it. And at the end, you should leave enough to surround the entire scroll, that there should be extra empty klaf at the end that could surround the entire scroll up until that point. Meaning the way they would make Kisvei HaKodesh, Rashi points out, is that they did not have two amudim, they only had one amud on one side. So we normally have two amudim in a Sefer Torah, and therefore we'll see about that a little bit later in the daf, but this is talking about if you attach a whole Tanakh around one amud, so that original amud has to have enough clear cloth to cover it, and then at the end enough cloth to go around the entire rolled up scroll. And if you finish one of the Sifrei Nevi'im at the bottom of a column, you can begin the new Sefer at the top of the next column. You don't need to leave empty spaces like we normally would between Svarim. And if you want to come and cut up the cloth into multiple books, you're allowed to do that. So says Mar Maikam, or why does Bryce have to tell me that you're allowed to separate between the volumes? After all, everyone agrees that it's better to write each krach b'fnei atzmo. So if it's better to write each one b'fnei atzmo, of course you're allowed to cut up the Torah from the Nevi'im and the Nevi'im from the Ksuvim and the different Nevi'im from one another. So says Mar Nachachikam, or what the Bryce is trying to tell me is that the reason that if you finish writing one Sefer at the bottom, that you could begin the next one at the top without leaving empty spaces, is because she'im balach techotech, because it is obviously preferable to separate the books anyway. So what are you going to do? You're going to leave empty space at the top of the next column to begin the next book, and then you're going to separate them. It's going to look funny. The beginning of the book is going to be off. It's going to be after empty space. So you don't have to leave that empty space. And the reason you don't leave that empty space is so that you can be chotech later on. Tosis raises the question from the Gemara over here. It sounds like if a person has a krach of Nevi'im, he's allowed to separate them from each other. Whereas on Yud Gimel and Beis, Shmuel said that shutfim are not allowed to divide Kisvei HaKodesh unless they're shutfim in two volumes. That Torah is in one volume and Nevi'im are in another volume. But if they're shutfim in a single krach, in a single volume, a single scroll that has Torah and Nevi'im, they're not allowed to divide up, even if they both want to divide up. So Tosa suggests that when they cut a sefer from Kisvei HaKodesh in order to divide it up, that's a bizayon. But when they're cutting it because they prefer it that way, that's not a bizayon. Meaning if you take a sefer Nevi'im that has Torah and Nevi'im, let's say, and you cut the Torah from the Nevi'im, so it depends on your kavana. If you're doing it because you'd rather have a Sefer Torah and you'd rather have a separate Sefer Nevi'im, so wonderful. But if you're doing it just because you're trying to make all the partners happy and you're trying to give everybody what they need, then that's not as wonderful. So the Gemara asks a stira to the Braisa. We said in the Braisa that the person who writes the Sefer Torah and Nevi'im Ksuvim has to leave cloth at the beginning of the Sefer to wrap around the Amud, to wrap around the Eitz Chaim, and at the end of the Sefer to wrap around the entire wrapped scroll of the Mini. But I'll ask you a stira from another Braisa. The Braisa says that the amount of empty cloth you're supposed to leave Tchila Sefer Visofo Kidelagul, that both the beginning and the end of the Sefer should be enough to wrap around. Now, presumably, it doesn't. This Braisa doesn't tell me how wrap around what, but presumably, whatever it is, it's the same for Tchilas HaSefer Visofo, which is against the Braisa we had before that had a different number for Tchilas HaSefer than it did for Sofo. Kidelagul Mai. If it's to wrap around just the Eitz Chaim Kasha Hakif, well then it's a Kasha on the first price, what the first price has said, that at the end it's supposed to be able to wrap around the entire scroll. And if this price means that it's supposed to be able to be enough to wrap around the entire scroll, Kasha Amud, well then it's a problem, because the first price has said that at the beginning of the scroll it only needs to be able to wrap around the Eitz Chaim. So I'm Katani. No, this price, when it says you need to leave a little empty space at the beginning and the end in order to wrap around, it specifically left it vague, because to wrap around what is different for the beginning and for the end. That for the beginning, only enough to wrap around, it only needs enough to wrap around the Eitz Chaim, and for the end, it needs enough to wrap around the entire scroll. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, yes, as we just said, Stadim Katani. Another answer, Rav Ashi Amar, that this price actually holds that it's enough to leave both at the beginning and the end, just to wrap around the Eitz Chaim. Doesn't that make it a stira between the brisos? No, it's not a stira, because they're not talking about the same thing. The first price is talking about a sefer that has a Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and therefore that a sefer like that is wrapped all the way to the end, and it only has one Eitz Chaim. So that's why at the end you're going to need enough cloth to wrap around the whole thing. But Kitanya Hi, the sefer Torah. But this price is talking about a sefer Torah that has two Amudim. So you only need enough at the beginning and enough at the end to wrap around the Eitz Chaim, because there are two Atzei Chaim. So it rolls toward the middle. Kedetanya, like we learned in the Braisa, Kala Svarim Niglal Mitchilas on the Sofan. All other Svarim of Kisvei HaKodesh are wrapped from the beginning to end every single time you use it. Meaning when you finish using a typical scroll, you're not supposed to leave it in the middle. You're supposed to go back and rewrap it from the beginning to the end. So next time you open it up, you are at the beginning of the Sefer. But the Sefer Torah Niglal Emtzi, so when you finish reading from the Sefer Torah, you could just roll it to the middle, to wherever it's up to the middle. The Rimigash points out does not mean you have to find the midpoint of the Sefer Torah every time you finish laning and roll it to that midpoint. It means you roll it to just where it's up to, like we do. We close the Sefer Torah roughly where it's up to, whatever, some of the Sagba and then the Galila, so it's maybe off by a column or something, but it's typically where we're up to. So that's what it means, le'emtzi'iso. Va'oslo amud eilech ve'eilech, and they make an Eitz Chaim on each side. And that's the way the Kosvei Svarim, people who wrote Sifrei Torah in Yerushalayim, that's the way they would prepare Sifrei Torah, and that indeed is the way we prepare Sifrei Torah. So we thought we had a stira between the two brises, because the first brise said that you leave a different amount of blank space at the beginning and the end, and the second brise said both at the beginning and the end you leave blank space, sounds like the same amount. So the two answers were, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said that the second brise never said the same amount of blank space, it also means a different amount, and Rav Ashi's answer was that the second price is talking about a Sefer Torah that has two Atzei Chaim, and therefore it is the same amount at the beginning and the end, because you don't have to wrap it all the way to the beginning, you wrap it toward the middle. Tanu Rabban, we have Brisa, Einos and Sefer Torah, Lo Arko Yeser Al Kefo V'Lo Kefo Yoser Al Arko, that when you're trying to figure out the size of a Sefer Torah, and when you're writing on average font size, the length of the Sefer Torah, top to bottom, should measure the same as the circumference around the entire scroll. That's with a typical thickness of cloth and a typical size of font. So, Shalos Rabbi Shir Sefer Torah Bekama. How big should that be? Sarmalahan begvil shisha. That if you're using a certain type of cloth called gvil, which is a very thick type of cloth, then it's going to be six tvachim. Beklaf bekama. And what if you're using a thinner cloth? Ein yodeh. Well, I don't have an exact number for what that should be. Rav Huna kasav shivin sifr daraisa. Rav Huna happened to have written 70 Sifrei Torah, and he only managed to hit the nail on the head once, where he got exactly that the hekif, that the circumference of the Sefer Torah, is exactly the length of the Sefer Torah, because it was very hard to do that. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Kasav Chad Amashchi de Igli, he wrote one Sefer Torah on calfskin, v'isra milei, and he nailed it the first time. He got it exactly where the ratio of the length to the circumference was exactly 1-to-1 ratio. So Yavu be Rabban Reinayu v'nachnafshei. The Rabbanan looked jealously at him, and that caused him to die. The ayin hara that they gave him, the kinna that they had of him, caused him to die. The Stipler writes that pshita shlo kivnu klal aziko. They weren't trying to damage him; they were just amazed. And whenever you have someone that's amazed, that's so mispa'il, and they look at you like they're in wonder over how wonderful you are, they're amazed at how wonderful you are, so that's kishkada sheyatsu milfnei hashalit, that causes evil to the person, that's what we call ayin hara. The Chazanish says similarly, when he talks about the value and the impact that ayin hara can have, that a person's look could have, he says this is misodos habriya. There's a Tshuva Sarashpa that talks about how language can make an impact, akilas chacham, Kilulas Hedyot, Birchas Hedyot, all those things, they make a difference. A person's words can make a difference. So the Chazanish says similarly, a person's look could make a difference. A machshava kala could make an impact. It's one of the sodos habriyot, it's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. No one was chas v'shalom trying to hurt him, was trying to hurt Rav Acha bar Yaakov, but that's just a natural consequence of looking at him with such awe. So Amar Leh Rabban L'Rav Amnun, the Rabban said to Rav Amnun, Kas Rav Yami Arba Me'a Sifrei Torah. Yishnor Rav Yami was such an expert scribe, he wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. So Amar Lehu, Dilma Torah Tzivalon Moshe Kasav. No way, there's no way he wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Maybe he wrote the Pasuk Torah Tzivalon Moshe Marashak Yilas Yaakov 400 times. And that's what you refer to as Torah. Tosos points out that in Masechah Sukkah we say that a katun is Yodeh L'daber Aviv Melamdo Torah. As soon as the child knows how to speak, the father should start teaching him Torah. And the Gemara says, what do you mean he should teach him Torah? Why? Well, he should start learning, kachim with him? No, it means he should teach him to say the words, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. He should say that pasuk, so that's what we mean when we say Torah. So Tosos says over here also, where you see that somehow that encapsulates the entirety of Torah in that one pasuk. So a person writes, the Yad Ramah points out that if a person just writes that pasuk in a Sefer Torah, l'shem k'siva Sefer Torah, it's ki'ilu he was mekayim the mitzvah of k'siva Sefer Torah. So the pasuk pshat means dafka that pasuk, because that pasuk epitomizes or stands in the place of, so to speak, all of the Torah. However, the Rashba writes, no, he just picked a pasuk, but really it could be any pasuk in the Torah. If you write a full pasuk in the Torah, that's ki'ilu you wrote the entirety of the Torah. And therefore, if you have an opportunity to write a pasuk in any Torah, you should do so, because you'll get a kiyum mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. So Amar Leh Rav Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi told Rabbi Zeira, not Rabbi Yanai arba mei karmi, shor Rabbi Yanai planted 400 vineyards. Amalei Dilma Shtayim Keneged Shtayim Vachas Yotzei Zanav. Maybe he planted 400 vineyards, not full vineyards, but 5 netios, where there was 2 vines and 2 vines, and one sticking out as a tail in between them, and that's considered halachically to be a vineyard, and maybe he did that. Why would he spend so much time planting vineyards? So says the Rashba, that's Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that it's a great kiyum of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael to plant vineyards in Eretz Yisrael. Over here in Camp Kaylee, we just had Robert Ehrli spoke to us last night. His son Binyamin was killed in battle in November, and he said how his son, one of the last things he did was to plant a vineyard, and that it was a very meaningful thing to the family when dozens of people came out to expand the vineyard and to build the vineyard and to make sure that it continues to live. So what's the significance of the vineyard, says the Gemara right here, based on the Rashba, that it's the way the Rashba explains the Gemara, that is a great kiyum of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael to Dafka plant a vineyard. So Meisvei, the Bnei Yeshiva, asked Rebbe, we said in the Brisa, we have Machlokas Tanayim, about the exact size of the Aron that they had in the Mishkan and exactly what was placed in it. And it goes as follows. Aron Sha'asa Moshe, the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made for the Mishkan was Amasayim V'chetzi Arko, 2.5 Amos long, V'amav V'chetzi Rachbo, 1.5 Amos wide, V'amav V'chetzi Komoso, 1.5 Amos tall, V'amav Bashisha Tvachim, presuming an Amah that's 6 Tvachim in size. V'haluchos, the Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Har Sinai were Orkan Shisha, V'rachban Shisha, were 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim, V'avyan Shlosha, and they were 3 Tvachim thick. So they were not exact cubes, they were squares, 6 by 6 Tvachim, but 3 Tvachim thick. If you put them both together next to each other, then it would have been an exact cube. So Menachos Keneged Arko Shalaron, and they were placed, though, lengthwise in the Aron. So Kama Luchos Ochlos Ba'aron, how much space did the Luchos take up in the Aron? If each one was 6 tvachim long, they took up 6 tvachim of space. They took up 12 tvachim of space in the Aron, one right next to the other. So lengthwise in the Aron had 2.5 amos. 2.5 amos times 6 tvachim each ama is 15 tvachim. So the luchos took up 12 of those 15 tvachim. Nishtar yasham shlosh tvachim, which left 3 tvachim of empty space along the length of the Aron. Seimehen tefach chetzil kosel zeh v'chetzil kosel zeh. But take away one tefach for the thickness of the walls themselves, because the measurement of 2.5 amos is measuring from the outside of the walls of the Aron. So take away one tefach for the walls, and the shtayr sham shnei tefachim, which leaves 2 tefachim of empty space. Shebehen sefer Torah munach, and those 2 tefachim of empty space is where the sefer Torah was placed. Shnemar ein baron rak shnei luchos avanim asharunach shal Moshe, that the Aron only had these 2 luchos avanim that Moshe Rabbeinu had placed. My ein baron rak. What's the double negative? The Aron didn't have, but. So miut achar miut, ein miut achar miut. El rabos, it's a double miut, and whenever it's a double miut, it's always coming to be marbis something. So it wasn't only the luchos havanim asher hunach shel Moshe. It must be from the fact that it says ein rak that it's something beyond just the 2 luchos that Moshe brought down, and that is sefer Torah shemunach biaron. That extra thing is the sefer Torah that was placed in the aron. The Yad Ramah Mesach Sanhedrin has a few different possibilities of how this limud works of ein miut achar miut. One possibility is that since we only need the first miut, if we really want to be mima'et, so about the second miut we say me'ina winyan l'ma'et, t'nei winyan l'rabos. Like we have such a limud in a number of different places, me'ina winyan l'zeh, t'nei winyan l'zeh. The second miut must not be coming to be mima'et, because the first miut was already mima'et. So the second miut must be coming to be marbis something. Alternatively, he says, when you have a miut, achar miut, you don't need the second miut to be mima'et, because you know that from the first miut, so it must be that the second miut is coming to be megala, that even the first miut is not really coming to be mima'et. And since you need the Torah to be megala, that the first miut is not mima'et, so we learn from there that it must be that both miutim are coming l'rabos, that they're both in concert with each other, coming l'rabos. Or the third possibility is that when you have a miut achar miut, the second miut is not coming to be mima'et from that which it says in the pasuk, it's coming to be mima'et from the first miut. So there's something in the ikur din of that first miut that is not true. Meaning we're saying that the only thing was the luchos. Oh, but there's a miut that says, not really the only thing. It's a miut on that first miut, that there was something else. And what is that something else? That something else was the sefer Torah. So that's the concept of a miut achar miut. According to that third explanation, the miut harishon is in fact being mima'it, but the miut sheni is taking away a little bit of the impact of that first miut, because it's being mima'it on the miut. So it's saying that first miut is not an absolute miut. The Ravan raises the question, Masech HaShavuos, how could it be that there are places that we darshan in miut achar miut al rabos, and other places where we say shana lava kasav va'akev, that the Torah will repeat things in order to tell me just how serious they are. So over here it seems like the exact opposite. We say, oh, it's a double miut. It's not telling you how serious we are about being mima'it. It's telling the opposite, that we're being marbe. So he says that when it says the very same words twice, that's where we say shana lava kasav va'akev. But when it's a double miut in different words, that's when we say ein miut achar miut ella the rabbis. So anyway, so Pernasta, Aron the Arko, back in the Gemara, we said, so now you've explained the full length of the Aron, that the length of the Aron was taken up by the thickness of the walls, the 2 luchos, and the Sefer Torah. Now let's explain what took up the whole width of the Arum. Kamaluchos, the Arum was again 1.5 amos wide, which is 9 tfachin. So Kamaluchos Ochlos Ba'arum, 6 tfachin. How wide were the Luchos? They were 6 tfachin wide. Nishtayr Shab Shosh tfachin, which leaves 3 more tfachin to account for. Tseme and Teva Chesil Luchos Zeva Chesil Luchos Zeva. One of those tfachin is accounted for by the thickness of the walls. Nishtayr Shab Shnei tfachin, which leaves 2 more tfachin to be accounted for. Shalayeh Sevatar Nichnas Viyotse Keshu Dachuk. And that extra 2 tfachin was just to give a little bit of wiggle room for when you're taking out the Sefer Torah from the Aron and putting it back in. Divrei Rabbi Meir. All of that is the sheet of Rabbi Meir that assumes that the Aron was 15 tfachim by 9 tfachim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ba'ama baschemisha tfachim. Rabbi Yehuda says no. When the Torah says that the Aron was 2.5 amos, it means 2.5 amos, where each ama is only 5 tvachim, and the luchos were exactly the size that we've been assuming until now, munachos ba'arko shel Aron, and they were placed lengthwise in the Aron. So if the entire length of the Aron is only 12.5 tvachim, because it's 2.5 times 5, and the luchos themselves took up 12 tvachim, because it's 2 times 6, you're only left with a half a tefach of difference. So must be that the walls of the Aron were not as thick as we thought. That the walls of the Aron were only an etzba on each side, and 2 etzbos together makes a half a tefach, because the tefach is the thickness of 4 times the thumb. So if it's the thickness of each wall is only 1 etzba, 2 etzbos is a chatzi tefach. That explains the length of the Aron. So notice what's left out over here is the Sefer Torah, that there was no room for the Sefer Torah. Pernasa Aron Liarko, you've explained the length of the Aron. Say Parnes Aron LaRachbo, how you can explain the width of the Aron, because now we're saying 1.5 tfachim times 5 is 1.5 amos of 5 tfachim of amos, which is 7.5 tfachim of width. Kamaluchos Ogdos Ba'aron, how much do the luchos take up in the Aron in terms of the width? Shisha tefachim, 6 out of the 7.5 tefachim. Nishtayr sham tefach mechza, which leaves you with 1.5 extra tefachim. Same and chatzi tefach etzba mechza luchos zeh, that's why mechza luchos zeh. Half a tefach is taken up by the thickness of the walls. Nishtayr sham tefach, and you're only left with 1 tefach. Shabo amudin omdin, they had silver amudin that stayed in the Aron. How do I know that? Shenemra, because the pasuk in Shir Hashirim says apirion Asalo Hamelech Shlomo me atzeal vonon amudav asa chesef refidos zav merkavo argama tocharot vav etc. The argos sheshigru baplishtim doron elukei Yisrael, and then there was a box that the plishtim gave as a gift to the God of Israel when they returned the Aron after they had captured the Aron during war. That's a story that happens in Sefer Shmuel and Shmuel Aleph, that the Bnei Yisrael took the Aron out with them to war and the plishtim had captured it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the plishtim through a series of exercises that were particularly uncomfortable while they had the Aron, and they realized that it was not meant for them to have. So they sent the Aron back, and with the Aron they sent back a box with a gift in it, whatever. So that gift that they had, munach mitzido, they kept that next to the Aron. Shemar, because the pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel, ves klei azov asher hashivosim lo asham tasimu ba'argaz mitzido v'shilachtem oso v'halach. So v'alav Sefer Torah munach. On that box, they kept the Sefer Torah. So it turns out that the Sefer Torah, according to this opinion, was not inside the Aron, it was outside the Aron. Shemar l'koach Sefer Torah zev, samtem oso mitzad Aron bris Hashem. Mitzadu munach v'lo b'to. You see that the Sefer Torah was next to, but not inside of the Aron. Mani Mekayim, Ein Ba'aron Rak. So what am I going to do with the double miut of Ein Ba'aron Rak, which we learned previously to say that it must have been the Sefer Torah in there as well? L'rabos Shivrei Luchos Shemunachim B'Aron. Now that's to tell me that the Shivrei Luchos were placed in the Aron as well, under the Luchos Shnios. That is how Rabbi Yehuda learns the size and the placement of the items in the Aron. Shetvachim. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, we said that the Sefer Torah was in the extra two Tvachim of the Aron. If the Sefer Torah in its circumference is six Tvachim, because we said that was ideal, that if it's Arko, Kehakefo, and that the ideal size, if it's written on Gvil, is going to be six Tvachim, so Michti, Kol Sheyesh Behakefo, Shlosh Tvachim, Yesh Berochav Tefach. Pi equals 3, right? That's what the Gemara always assumes when it does geometry, that pi equals 3. So if you have 3 tefachim of circumference, that's 1 tefach of diameter. So the kibun de le'emtzi iso niglal, nafsh le mitrei tifcha. So if the Sefer Torah is 2 circles that are each a tefach, right, so then that would be 2 tefachim. But it's going to be a little bit more because it's not wrapped around just once. If it was wrapped around just once, it would be 6 tefachim. But since it's 2 circles, each circle is slightly larger than 3 tefachim. So rafta de beni beni, because there's space in between, there's a little bit of air space in between when you wrap a Sefer Torah in 2 circles, when you wrap it like that. So betray pushchi hechi asvi. So how did you have something that was a little more than 2 tefachim fit into a space that was exactly 2 tefachim? Meaning we said, according to Rabbi Meir, the Aron was 15 tefachim in length, the luchos took up 12, the walls took up a tefach, which left only 2 more tefachim for the Sefer Torah. But we just did the cheshbon that the Sefer Torah is slightly more than 2 tefachim. So you have to say that the hekaf of the Sefer Torah must have been less than 6 tefachim of circumference, and therefore it's less than 2 tefachim. So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Sefer Azara l'tchilaso hu niglal. The Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu kept, that he wrote, and that was kept in the Azara, was not like other Sefer Torah that had 2 Atzei Chaim. It was wrapped around only one Eitz Chaim, and therefore it wrapped to exactly 2 Tfachim, and therefore they were able to fit it, they were able to place it in the Aron. Rashi writes that they used that Sefer Torah only very rarely, once every 7 years on Motzei Shnas HaShemitah, when they would do Hakel, the Kohen Gadol would read from that Sefer Torah. The Melech would read from it once every 7 years. Kohen Gadol would also read from it every Yom Kippur, Rashi says. So it was used once a year, plus during Hakel. However, Tosos and Amar Aleph says, nah, they left that Sefer Torah there always. They never used that Sefer Torah. The Rashash says they're both right. One's talking about Bayis Rishon, and the other's talking about during Bayis Sheni. Now, why would they make every other Sefer Torah with 2 Amudim, and this one with only 1 Amud? So the Yad Ramah, because the purpose of the 2 Amudim was to make it easier for Kriyas HaTorah. So they would wrap it toward the middle, wherever you would stop reading. But the Sefer HaZara was not used for Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore they could roll it up the full way and leave it in that way. So anyway, says Gemara, so we've now narrowed down that Sefer Torah to take up a space of exactly 2 Tefachim. Yeah, but Vakati, Trei B'Trei Hechi Yosef, how could it fit exactly that you have a 2 Tefach Sefer Torah that fits into a space that's exactly 2 Tefachim? How do you squeeze it in? How do you pull it out? So Ravashi, the Karach Beporta, the Karach El, you leave it slightly unrolled, and part of the unrolled part goes across the width of the space of the Aron, and that way they had enough wiggle room to put it in and out. Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Sefer Torah was not kept in the Aron, but it was kept by the box that the Plishtim had sent. Before the Plishtim had sent that gift, where were they keeping it? Meaning they had this Sefer Torah for way longer. So where was that Sefer Torah sitting? So it says Gemara, Dapa havanafik minei v'yasvi lavi Sefer Torah. There was a little ledge that stuck out of the Aron where they sat the Sefer Torah on that ledge. Mayor, what does Rav Meir do with the pasuk that says the kach sefer Torah zev samtum so mitzad aron? After all, Rav Meir held it wasn't mitzad. Rav Meir held it was inside the aron. So mibayle demisnach le mitzad, that they would put the sefer Torah on the side, on the inside of the box, but off to the side as opposed to in the middle of the aron itself. Lo misnach beni luchi, they didn't put the sefer Torah in between the 2 luchos. They put the luchos next to each other and the aron off to the side. Next to it, but minatzad means in the box. But it's on the inside minatzad. According to Rameir, where did the amude kesef go? Mibrai. Who says it has to be in the aron? That was on the outside. Where does Rabbi Meir learn that even the shivri luchos were put in the aron? According to him, we learn from Ein Ba'aron Rak that a sefer Torah was put in the aron. So the double negative, the double miut, is not there to teach me shivri luchos. According to Rameir, so how does Rav Meir know that the Shivrei Luchos were placed in the Aron as well? So Nafkalei Midrav Huna, he derives that from where Rav Huna derived the drama Rav Huna, Maiduch Siv, Asher Nikra Shem, Shem Hashem Tzvakos, Yoshev HaKruv Malav. Why does the word shame appear twice in the Pasuk? Melami Shaluchos, Veshivrei Luchos, Menachem Baron. That teaches me that both the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos were placed in the Aron. The Idach and Rav Yudah, who disagrees with the Rav Meir and holds that it's from Ein Ba'aron Rak that we know that the Shivrei Luchos were in the Aron. What does he do with the shame, with the double expression of shame? He uses that to teach me what Rabbi Yochanan taught. This teaches us that the Shema Mufurash and all the other kinuyim of the Shema Hashem were all written down somewhere and placed in the Aron. But Lachar Meir needs that drasha also. So how does he know that the Shivrei Luchos were placed in the Aron? How does Rabbi Meir know that the Shivrei Luchos were in the Aron? He derives it from what Rabbi Yosef taught. The Tanya Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef taught, darshening the pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, where it says, "Vechtov al aluchos as advarim asher hayu aluchos arishonim asher shibarta v'samtem ba'aron." So, what is that phrase? Asher shibarta v'samtem. So, melamed shaluchos v'shaviluchos menachos ba'aron. That tells me that even the luchos asher shibarta were v'samtem. They also had to be placed in the aron. V'idach and Rabbi Yehuda, who already knows the shivrei luchos were placed in the aron from ein ba'aron rak, from the double miut of ein ba'aron rak. What does he do with Asher Shibarta Besamtem? He has the famous drasha of Reish Lakish. Dam Reish Lakish, Asher Shibarta, Amar Lakodesh Baruch Hu Lemoshe, Yiyasher Kachachash Shibarta, that we learn from Asher Shibarta that Kodesh Baruch Hu congratulated Moshe Rabbeinu on breaking the luchos, that he gave him a Yashakayach for being shover the luchos. The Rashi points out, because had he not broken the luchos, then Klal Yisrael would have been wiped out. This is one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu did, midaito, and his schema ledas hamakom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. Rashi, Maseches Menachos Daf Tzadi Tes, says that the raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to the breaking of the luchos was from the fact that it says Asher Shibarta b'nichusa, and not b'loshon kas. They didn't say, what's the matter with you? How could you break this? No, it was Asher Shibarta. You happened to have broken it, which makes it sound like Hashem was on board with that plan. The Ramban writes that the raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to it was from the fact that he told him to leave it in the Aron. So we see from there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have agreed with it, because why would you want to commemorate something that was absolutely terrible in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in Kategor Nasa Senegor? You would not want to bring to mind something wrong that we had done. So it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy with what Moshe Rabbeinu did. In the Sefer Ol Moshe, that goes to the Ol Moshe, he says, I don't understand, why didn't the Gemara go back and ask, according to a mayor, how do I know Yiyasher Kochacha Sheshibarta? Because it says, so he says, that's not a kasha, because it says Asher Shibarta twice. So Hitaka has that drasha as well. One to tell me that the Shivrei Luchos were in the Aron, and the other one to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu approved of the idea of breaking the Luchos. Tanur Rabbanan. So we have a brisa. Sidron Shal Neviim, the order of the Neviim is as follows. Yeshua Shavtim Shmuel Malachim. It's Yeshua Shavtim Shmuel Malachim, Yirmiyahu Yechazkel Yishaya Shnei Masar. You might be wondering, they got it wrong. What about Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Malachim Aleph, Malachim Beis? It's not just Shmuel Malachim. So that is a Christian thing. The division of Shmuel into two books and Malachim into two books, much like the Prakim that we have in Tanakh, were not made by Jews. Those divisions were made by Christians. We have a division of Parshios, of Psuchos and Stumos, and we never had a division of books, two books of Shmuel and two books of Malachim. That's what that's one of the criticisms of the Torah Tamima's Vart. The Torah Tamima says that why is it that it says that when you bench, you say Magdil Yishos Malko, and on Shabbos, am I getting backwards? Migdol, which one is Migdol? Migdol is Shabbos. It says Magdil Yishos Malko, and it says B'Shabbos Migdol. So the Torah Tamima says, why would it be different on Shabbos? He says, no, because it's a pasuk in Tehillim and it's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. So probably it said in the original benchers, Beis Shin Beis Migdol. And it meant, in Shmuel Beis, the alternate version is Migdol. But someone got confused and wrote B'Shabbos. But the problem with that is, I think Rav David Cohn points out in one of his svarim actually, the problem with that is that the earliest records we have of changing that word in benching predates the splitting of Shmuel Aleph from Shmuel Beis. So it's hard to imagine that it was just a misunderstanding in terms of that it said B'Shmuel Beis. So anyway, so this is the order of the Nevi'im, of the Nevi'im. Michti, Hoshea Kadim. Hoshea came before Yeshayahu. Tchsib, because the Pasuk says, Tchilas Dibur Hashem B'Hoshea. Sounds like that Hoshea was the first of the Nevi'im HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to. What? Does that make any sense? Chim Hoshea Dibur Tchila. Hoshea was the first of the Nevi'im, but Lomim Moshe Vad Hoshea, come in Nevi'im Ayu. There are many Nevi'im between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Hoshea. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Shaya Tchila Larba Nevi'im Shenisnabu Bo'os HaPerek. No, he was the first of the four Nevi'im that were Menaveh around the same time. Ve'elu Hein, and those four Nevi'im of that Tkufa were Hoshea, Yeshaya, Amos, Umicha. So Hoshea came before Yeshaya. So V'liktamele Hoshea Bereisha. How come Hoshea's book doesn't come before Yeshaya's book if Hoshea started having Nevuah first? So it says, Markim Dukhsiv Nevuah, Sein Kabichag Ezecharia Malachi, since the Nevuah of Hoshea is written in Treyasar, together with Chag Ezecharia Malachi, the Chag Ezecharia Malachi, Sof Nevi'im, Havon Chag Ezecharia Malachi, were in the time of Bayesheni, they were the very last Nevi'im, so Chashv L'Badayu, so that's why Hoshea gets grouped together with Chag Ezecharia Malachi after Yeshayahu. V'lichtvei Luchudei V'lichtvei, so ask the Gemara, why not include him with Chag Ezecharia Malachi? Give him his own book, and let him come before Yeshaya. So I did the Zutar Mirkas. No, they were afraid, since Hoshea is such a teeny tiny book, that if they're not mitzarif with a bunch of other small Nevi'im, it's going to get lost, and people are going to forget to include it in the Sefer Nevi'im. So that's why they have to be mitzarif together with the other Nevi'im of the Treyasar. Tulsa Rush raises the question, well, the five Megillos are also very small books. Why don't we mitzarif them into one big Sefer so that they don't get lost? One could have argued that they're not so small. You know, some of the Treyasar are much smaller than the Megillos, but anyway, he says that since the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah wrote them on their own, all the Nevuos of the Treyasar, so they were mitzarif them into one big book. But the Chameshos Megillos were written by different people, so therefore they didn't have to be mitzarif them into one big book. But the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah all wrote the Treyasar, so therefore it gets combined into one big book. So Michti Yeshaya Kadmi Yirmiyahu VeYecheskel. Yeshaya came before Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel. So look to maybe Yeshaya Bereisha. How come Yeshaya's book doesn't come earlier in Tanakh than Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel? So Kivin the Malachim Sofei Churbana, since Sefer Malachim ends with the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Yirmiyahu Kulei Churbana, and Sefer Yirmiyahu is entirely about Churban. Yecheskel Bereishi Churbana v'Sefer Nechemta, and Sefer Yecheskel begins with Churban and ends with Nechama. V'Yeshaya Kulei Nechemta, and Sefer Yeshaya is entirely about Nechama. The Abdama points out none of that is really true. Meaning it doesn't mean the entire Sefer Yirmiyahu is about Churban, and nor is the entire Sefer Yeshaya about Nechama. It means the beginning and the end of the book. So it's bookended with Churban and with Nechama, and that's what the Gemara means over here. But anyway, because of that, we want to associate Churban with Churban and Nechama together with Nechama. Sidran Shel Ksuvim, the order of the books of Ksuvim are Rus, V'Sefer Tehillim, Iyov, Mishlei, Kohelet, Shir Shirim, Vikino, Kinos Zecha, Daniel, Umegilas Esther, Ezra, V'Divrei Yamin. So it's interesting. The Rashash asks, why is it that Tehillim is called Sefer Tehillim, and Esther is called Megillas Esther? So he said Tehillim is like a Sefer Torah because it's divided into five books, and it's pretty much the same number of psukim as Sefer Torah. That's why it's called Sefer. Esther has to be written on Gevil or on Klaf, and that's why it's called Megillah. And he says the only one that's called Megillah is Esther. Rus, Shira, Shirim, Kalhelas, Eicha are not really called Megillah, because there are certain dinim that only apply to Megillas Esther. Uleman diyamar Iyov bimei Moshe elit meli of Bereisha. According to the Shita that Iyov lived in the days of Moshe, why wasn't Iyov first? Aschuli paranus alom aschulinan. We'd rather not start with something so negative. Says Mar Rus nami paranusihi. Rus is also all about paranus. So says Mar no paranus disayachrus. It's paranus that has a lot of hope at the end, because the damar of Yochanan. Why is she called Rus? She yatzi mena David sherivo la Kodesh Baruch Hu b'shiruch tishbachos. That because she had David that satiated Hakadosh Baruch Hu with shiruch and tishbachos. So that's a very positive ending to the sefer of Rus. Tosfos raises the question: the Peronis of Eov also has a happy ending. Eov got back kiflayim of what he started with. So there are a number of answers that are given, but it could be that the Acharis of Rus was a tova for all of Klal Yisrael, that David HaMelech and family of Mashiach comes from that, whereas the Acharis of Eov was nice news for Eov, but it wasn't really nice news for, it didn't really matter to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Many, many other answers are given to that question as well, but we will stop here, and Be'ez Hashem, we will continue tomorrow with Umi Kasvan, that who wrote the various books of Tanakh, four lines from the bottom of the page. Probably we'll do a little earlier tomorrow as well. I'm not sure yet exactly what time, so stay tuned to the WhatsApp, but certainly no later than we did today, because I got to go to a wedding tomorrow as well. Okay.